Democratic base is very dialed into abortion rights as an issue more broadly.
Same-sex marriage rights.
Closed the state's last abortion
Platt
provider.
Has now apologized to his congregation.
They believe the Bible has application for
it
every part of our
views as a Southern Baptist.
He's on camera saying that
the problem
Bill
is also not just the shift of position.
In the midst of all of today's noise and confusion, we need a voice that cuts through the chaos to bring wisdom and clarity. Welcome to The Roys Report with Julie Roys, an hour-long show exploring critical issues related to faith and culture from a uniquely Christian perspective. Now, here's your host, Julie Roys.
Well, welcome to The Roys Report, brought to you in part by Judson University. I'm Julie Roys. I'm so excited for today's program, exploring a topic that almost nobody will touch with a 10-foot pole. It's one of those topics that's not politically correct, and if you talk to most people, they'll say the question I'm about to ask isn't even a question. It's a slam dunk settled issue. So here it is. Is change possible for gay and transgender people? Of course, our culture says no, LGBT activists say no, policymakers say no, but they apparently forgot to inform my guests today. Because joining me today are people who say they've experienced real and lasting change in their sexuality. See, even though our culture says that being gay or transgender is an immutable quality, and if you have unwanted sexual desires, that's too bad. There's absolutely nothing you can do about it. My guests today say that that's not so. Over the course of the next hour, we're going to hear from several people who once lived as LGBT persons, but do so no longer. I'd also love to hear from you as well. You can join the discussion on Facebook by going to facebook.com/reachjulieroys, and Roys is spelled R-O-Y-S, or you can comment on Twitter by using my handle @reachjulieroys. Well, the first person to join me today is Jeffrey McCall. Jeffrey once lived and identified as Scarlett, a gay transgender woman, but today he identifies as a child of God, washed and cleansed from his former sinful lifestyle. He's also the founder of the Freedom March, an incredible ministry that gathers people who have left the LGBTQ lifestyle to share their stories in public city platforms. He's also the founder of For Such a Time Ministry. This is his personal ministry where he travels and shares his testimony of deliverance. So, Jeffrey, welcome to the Roys Report. It is such a privilege to have you join us.
Yes, I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Jeffrey, let's just start with what your former life was like. What was that like to live as a gay person who's also a transgender woman?
Yeah, so for years, my identity was being part of the homosexual community. Later on in life, I had always thought of myself possibly being transgender, but later I lived it. I started seeing doctors, psychologists, and psychiatrists. I was eventually diagnosed with gender dysphoria. And, you know, the further I went into living as Scarlett and trying to become something I'm not, the further the depression came, the suicidal thoughts, the heaviness and the oppression. So my life was quite different back then.
And I know this is like the million-dollar question, and it's sometimes hard to put your finger on everything, but do you look to anything, either nature or nurture, as to say, okay, this is kind of what led me down this path?
Yeah, I think there were multiple aspects to that question. When I was very young, I saw things from an older male I shouldn't have seen. I also, at a very young age, heard my mother talking about my parents' divorce, and she had talked about how my dad had cheated on her. And I remember even as a young boy thinking, I don't want to do that to women. I don't want to hurt women. And it just had this confusion on me on the dynamics of what a marriage was supposed to be.
Now, as I understand it, even though you were living as a transgender woman, even at times when you needed money, going to prostitution and prostituting yourself, you were in a pretty dark place, yet you were listening to a pastor online. Is that right?
Yes. So the times that I was living as Scarlett those years, I was secretly listening to a pastor named Jensen Franklin. I had visited his church once and really felt something there. And so I wouldn't go to church, but I could hear him on, you know, YouTube videos or on television. And so this time that I'm living as Scarlett, the Lord was using him as one of the factors to just pull and tug on my heart. and to convict me of my life, and that there would be so much more for me if I just chose to follow Jesus.
Mm. But did you feel most of the time like you had a choice, or did you feel like, man, this is, I'm stuck, there's nothing I can do about it?
Yes, most of the time I didn't feel I had a choice. I felt that's who I was and what I was going to be. And it actually came down to an encounter with God. And I was at my apartment alone, and I was crying. I had thoughts racing and all these things. And I just literally cried out to God. And I said, God, I know people live for you. And it's not just about going to church on Sunday. I said, something happened in these people's lives I've met where they have love and joy and peace no matter what. And I said, but God, will I ever live for you? And here I am living as Scarlet, transgender, thinking God's way out there and I'm here. And I didn't even really know why I was crying out to this God that I thought may be real, but I wasn't for sure. But it was just my heart. My heart was broken and contrite. And I remember just calling out to him in that brokenness. And I'll never forget, all my thoughts went silent. Mm-hmm. There was just a peace and a stillness in the room. And I heard crystal clear God say, yes, you will live for me. And I remember it was like a seed of hope planted in me. And that was the beginning process of my life changing.
Hmm. And didn't you, like, at some point, I don't know if this was immediate, but at some point you took your clothes, your heels, your skirts, whatever it was that was part of that life of Scarlet, and you threw them in a dumpster. Tell me about that.
Yes, I did. It was months later. And the Lord just kept working on me and pulling me and drawing me to him. And there came a time where I just felt a grace to throw my life away. And I'll never forget, I went to a dumpster and I threw away all my clothes, my hair, my makeup, my jewelry, shoes. I mean, everything that's who I was. I performed in clubs and things like that at the beginning, but my identity in being transgender went way beyond that. I left all that and was going to graduate school at Scarlet. I was diagnosed with gender dysphoria. I was seeing psychiatrists and psychologists. So when I threw away my life as Scarlet, it was huge for me because this is what I thought I was going to be and become, and to start having surgeries and all these things. It was my whole identity. And all of a sudden, it was just like God gave me this grace to just end it. And so I did. I threw it all in a dumpster one day.
Mm. Well, tell me about your journey then from there. I mean, obviously, overnight, your sexual desires don't change. Your desire maybe to be transgender did change pretty instantly. But, I mean, how do you walk out of that into a new life?
Oh, my gosh. It's only by God's grace. If you try to do this out of your own flesh or just by striving to do it, you'll fail 150% of the time. It is the grace of God. He just gives me this grace every day to do it. And I don't wake up every day striving not to be those things. It's just I have this natural feeling of I love God, and I want to follow him, and I want to obey him, and I want to set myself apart for him. He's the most important person in my life. And just thinking of God sometimes as a person, people don't think of him, but it says in the Bible we're created in his image. We have thoughts. We have feelings. He created us like him. And when you think of him as a real person, not a human being, but God, the creator, that has a spirit, it has characteristics and feelings, it just makes it just so much better to just follow him. It makes it easier. And just asking him as a person, as God, to fill us with grace so that we can deny any ungodliness that he doesn't want us to be a part of.
Hmm. And you're still living as a single person, a celibate person, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you ever see yourself getting married to a woman, or do you feel like you're called to singleness?
I don't know. You know, I'm open to God on that. I really feel like I'm going to get married one day and have children, but even if I didn't at this point, it doesn't matter to me. I just live my life for the Lord. I need a lot of time now, right now, with the Lord and just going through just healing and just growing in my relationship with him. So it's not necessarily on my radar. But if the Lord brought a woman of God who wanted to be a part of my life and to start a family, then I'm not opposed to that at all.
Mm. And real quickly, we only have about a minute before we go to break, but you started this thing called the Freedom March. What is that about?
Yes, so the Freedom March is a place where I wanted to give others a platform to share their testimonies. And this idea came to me while I was sharing my testimony in another city to have an event in Washington, D.C., where people gather and share their testimonies of leaving the gay and transgender lifestyles to follow Jesus Christ. And I just put it together quickly. Others came along beside me to help me. And not only did I want testimony shared, I wanted to publicly march in the streets afterwards. So we get behind a banner and we march in the streets wherever we go with the Freedom March. So it's just really awesome. The Lord was really using that scripture in Colossians where it says Jesus made a public spectacle of the enemy. Mm. And it was like the Lord saying, get out of the building, get out of the convention, get out of those things, and like be in the streets, be with the people, march in the streets, share the testimonies and venues outside in the streets, like show that city what the Lord has done in your life.
Mm. Well, Jeffrey McCall, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. I know you have something you have to run to, but I appreciate you taking the time, being a part of the program and sharing your story. We need to go to break, but when we come back, you'll hear from someone who walked away from her life as a lesbian and has never looked back. We'll be right back.
Now, more of the Royce Report. Once again, here's Julie Royce.
Well, is change possible for gay and trans people? The world says no, but my guests today say yes. Welcome back to the Royce Report. I'm Julie Royce. If you'd like to hear more stories like the one you just heard in our last segment, I encourage you to enter our DVD giveaway today. Just for the Royce Report listeners, I have three copies of Here's My Heart, a documentary of surrendering to freedom. This documentary features Jeffrey McCall, the former transgender woman that you just heard from in that first segment, but it also has the stories of 11 other LGBT, or I should say former LGBT, men and women who met Christ and experienced deliverance from their unwanted same-sex and transgender desires. So to enter to win that DVD, just go to Julie Royce, spelled ROYS.com/giveaway. That's JulieRoyce.com/giveaway. And I have another guest that I'm going to be introducing you to in just a minute, but I want to go to our phone lines. I have Derek on the line. And Derek, as I understand, you used to be bisexual. Is that right?
Yeah, Julie, that's absolutely correct. When I was around high school, college age, that was my lifestyle. And I was pretty dang proud of it at the time.
Wow. So, I mean, what led you into that lifestyle?
Well, I was in theater, not to be a living cliche. ballet, jazz, modern. I did theater. So it was kind of expected of me. And I dated a lot of girls, too. I don't want to make it sound like it was just one. But, you know, that was definitely there. And that was a huge part of my life.
Hmm. So you felt kind of a pressure to move there, but obviously you moved out of it, and that's something that there's a lot of pressure, I would guess, in that community saying you can't do that. What was your journey like?
Well, it's funny. I got saved, and then as I was in church, I'd started moving away from the bisexual lifestyle. I was just sleeping with women at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of marriage, which, you know, also sin, big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got convicted of that, that's when everything kind of changed for me. And it was hard because the people that I really relied on when I was in that lifestyle
mm-hmm.
didn't just like say, okay, fine. They adamantly cut me off, said, we don't want anything to do with you. You can't do this. You're hurting the entire world, was one of the quotes.
And that's so funny because you hear so much from the LGBT lobby that they're inclusive, they're affirming, they accept everyone, but it really is not okay. Really.
No, well, they're inclusive and affirming unless you disagree with them, which is one of the issues that comes up. You know, we need to reach out to them in love, but we need to also understand that, you know, they don't want to just have, you know, that equality. They really want to push an agenda. So I think that's part of it, too.
So real quickly, because I do want to get to our next guest, but I know I saw you're somebody that I've seen interact on Facebook before, and I saw you interacting on my Facebook page, which, again, is facebook.com/reachJulieRoyce, R-O-Y-S. We've been having discussion on this kind of all week because I posted some articles and things, and there's some pushback. People saying, you know what, that's great for you, but, you know, most people can't change, so stop talking about it. Speak to that person right now.
Well, I would just say, you know, with anything as a Christian, and I want to deal with this from the church perspective, you know, we have to be able to call sin, sin. And sin feels good. And if you're in that lifestyle, that feels good at the time. But the cold hard fact of the matter is homosexuality, like anything, any kind of sexual sin, starts in the mind and then moves on to, you know, physical, basically outbursts, I would call them. So we need to deal with that piece. Call sin, sin, have true repentance, you know, seek God, get that. And then we could really start to have that dialogue of, look, we love you, we care about you, let us come around you and help you, which also allows us to kind of step in the role of that community that the LGBTQ people had before us.
And that's a big piece. I appreciate that, Derek. Thanks so much for your, you know, just sharing your story and some of your advice there. But I think you hit on something there about the love and the community, and I've heard this from so many people who have were part of that lifestyle and have moved out from that lifestyle. And they said, you know, I love the affirmation. I love the community. And I think we need to remember that. The church better be a community. We better love people, or there's no way that they're going to leave their sin and come into the body of Christ, or, you know, really forsake that. So thanks again, Derek. But I do want to go to my next guest. Joining me now is Ann Polk. She's the executive director of Restored Hope Network, a ministry offering hope and healing to those broken by sexual and relational sin. And actually, I know this ministry. I got to speak at one of their conferences. It's a fantastic ministry, so I give it like two thumbs up. She's also the proud mother of three boys, I know because I follow her on Facebook. But years ago, Anne had embraced gay identity and lived as a lesbian woman for several years, so she knows about our topic firsthand. So, Anne, welcome. So great to have you join me.
Thank you, Julie. What a delight to be with you.
Well, I feel the same way. And you've been on my radio program, my former radio program, a couple of times.
That's so right.
Glad to have you join me here. And I do want to talk about sort of this push, not just outside the church, but inside the church to embrace gay identity. But I would like to just start with, and I don't think I've ever had you tell this on my show, which is your journey. How did you end up living a lesbian lifestyle?
Well, I was in my teens and younger, even actually, and it started younger. I had attraction that I felt. Pardon me, I have a cough, so unfortunately, I have to warn you about that right now.
No worries.
You heard it. I was probably junior high and right around then. I was very attracted to several other girls, and not all girls, but several other girls. And I didn't know what had created those desires. I didn't want them. That's a very common story, actually. Even people who embrace homosexuality are often go through a period of time where they say, you know, I wish I hadn't had those feelings. I didn't want them. I didn't ask for them. And then eventually in my college years, after having some exposure to Christianity through kind of a liberal Presbyterian church, I ended up throwing God out and saying, okay, my feelings are more real. I don't know if God really exists, and I'm going to go for him. So college, first year in college, I decided I am going to deal with these feelings I've had for a really long time and embrace them. And I found lots of support for myself. And that was back in the early 1980s. So it was still known as being sin, but there was a lot of support for me then.
Still known
as
sin.
It was still known as sin at that time.
Yeah.
It isn't anymore, almost.
I agree. So how did you move, you know, from that where you're, you know, accepted, you're enjoying that lifestyle to saying, I'm not okay with this?
Well, it wasn't that I was nervous. I was excited and nervous, and that's also very common amongst those who are coming out, a little anxiety, actually, attached to embracing homosexuality. So that tells you it's not necessarily the healthiest thing, psychologically speaking. But anyhow, as I embraced this and I began surrounding my life with it. In the middle of that, I had this incredible thought approach me in the middle of a meeting with a whole bunch of people who were reaffirming. And it said, you're not going to find the love that you're seeking for here. And I was devastated knowing it was true. Like, what? Where did this piercing thought come from? Obviously, it was directly from heaven. And I had just said that God didn't exist so I could do my thing. So what? So it caught me off guard. And I began having dreams about Jesus and asking my friend questions about him and who does he say he is. And I began asking him the right questions. Right? Here I am in the midst of my pursuits. And I began seeking who God says he is and who Jesus says he is. And nobody could answer those questions. I was at a University of California college, and I was surrounded by people who claimed they were Christians, but they didn't know the basics in order to answer my question. So I ended up at a evangelism training class from a Baptist student ministry, which is really funny as a non-Christian.
Right? Yeah, really.
And in the middle of that, they began answering the basic questions. Who does Jesus say he is? And they left it open for discussion. What are your thoughts about this? It was brilliant and beautiful and not coercive. And at the end of that session of about 8 weeks, we were all bowing our heads.
All right, I need to pause. I hate to do this to you.
Yeah.
We got to go to break. Pause on that. When we come back, I'm going to let you finish that story again. Ann Polk of Restored Hope Network. I'm Julie Royce. You're listening to The Royce Report, and we will be right back.
Thank you for listening to The Royce Report with Julie Royce. The Royce Report is a listener-supported program, and we're only able to broadcast this program with donations from listeners like you. If you'd like to see this quality program continue, please go to JulieRoyce, spelled R-O-Y-S.com, and click on the Donate button.
This is The Royce Report with Julie Royce.
Well, welcome back to The Royce Report, brought to you in part by Judson University. I'm Julie Royce, and today we're discussing a topic that's really taboo in many circles. In fact, if you brought up this topic at work or a school setting, you'd likely be ridiculed or shot down. But here's the question. Can gays and transgender people change? You see, even though the culture says they can't, there are people who not only say they can change, but they say they've experienced that transformation themselves. We've heard from two people already who said that they've been delivered from the gay lifestyle. We're going to hear from a third in this segment. I'd also love to hear from you. You can join the live online discussion by going to facebook.com/reachjulieroyce. And Royce is spelled R-O-Y-S. Also, if you'd like to hear more stories like the ones that you're hearing now, I encourage you to enter a giveaway today for Here's My Heart, a documentary of surrendering to freedom. This is a film that features 12 stories of LGBT men and women who met Christ and experienced deliverance from their unwanted same-sex and transgender desires. To enter to win that DVD, just go to JulieRoyce, spelled R-O-Y-S.com/giveaway. That's JulieRoyce.com/giveaway. And actually, my next guest that I'll be introducing in just a minute is actually the executive producer of that DVD. Amazing story herself, and obviously she's gotten a bunch of other amazing stories for that DVD. I've seen it. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic documentary. But I have Ann Polk on the line. Ann is the executive director of the Restored Hope Network, helping an awful lot of people come out of these kind of sexual brokenness and LGBT lifestyle and finding hope and freedom in Christ. And Ann, you were telling us a bit about your story. And really funny, here you are in college, you're not a believer, and yet you're in an evangelism class, and that's when you hear about the gospel. Maybe the true gospel, even though you've been exposed to Christianity, but the gospel for the first time. So how did that impact you?
Well, it was pretty wild, actually. So the final day I was praying, or pretending to pray, actually. I was just bowing my head and holding my hands, thinking that's the way it's supposed to be done. Everybody else is praying, and God shows up. God is there and makes himself, he was probably always there,
yeah.
Right? But he made himself obvious to me. I sensed that there was a person in the room whom I couldn't see, but it was as real as a cloud or real. This real person was weaving in and out amongst the prayers of the saints. And this person was full of truth and full of kindness, full of authority was exactly how I felt, like had all power under his belt and yet full of kindness.
Mm.
And I thought, holy smoke, who is this? And how do I get this person in my life? And so exactly what I went to talk to the pastor about afterwards, told him I'm a lesbian, I want to pursue that, but here I encountered this person. What is going on here? And I need this. I would trade anything to have him in my life, to see that difference. And and that's what happened later that night. The pastor shared with me about the sinner's prayer and asking Jesus into my life, and that to cling to my sin is not okay, but rather to surrender all because I'm asking for forgiveness from sin and allow him to become my righteousness and me to give up all of my heavy loads, these burdens I've been carrying. Mm. Up until then, I'd felt like a bit of a spiritual rag doll pulled between darkness and light. Mm. And then when I gave up all of my so-called rights to live my life my way and to accept this person, this amazing person into my life, this actual real God who existed, and for him to forgive me my sins and to come and cleanse me and fill me with his spirit, I came alive. Mm-hmm. I came alive. The burdens rolled off my shoulders, and I began to live for the first time.
Mm.
It felt like, literally, I've said it multiple times in different places, but it felt like if you could use an example or analogy of an appliance on a kitchen countertop, it's just sitting there like a doorstop until you plug it into the wall, right? Well, that's what I felt like.
Huh.
God had gripped that plug and put me into the circuitry I was always designed to be part of, which is the body of Christ, to be belong to the God of creation who made everything. So that was the beginning of life. That didn't immediately, it took away homosexual feelings for about 6 months. I was absolutely in love with this person who is now in my life, absolutely sold out. And then eventually, you know, I had to begin to grow. I had to begin to experience the rest of life as well and to become a more mature believer. And that's when some struggles returned and I needed help. The help that I had was not in contrast with God's word, but actually alongside of it. And I began to grapple with things like I'd been molested when I was 4 by someone I should have been able to trust. A teenager in the neighborhood, and that was repeated. And my assumptions about myself as a girl and about men and about safety and security and how treasured and safe and valuable I was were compromised as a result of those experiences. I'd come to different assumptions about life. So anyway.
No, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I want to bring MJ into this discussion because I know MJ's probably going, yeah, I know what you're talking about right now. And I'd love to have her be a part of it as well. So MJ Nixon is the executive producer of Here's My Heart, the DVD I'm giving away today, but she's also the founder of Uprooted Heart, a ministry telling the testimonies of men and women who have found freedom from sexual bondage and brokenness. And MJ, I'm so glad you could take time to be with us, but I'm guessing, and am I right, that you're saying, wow, can I relate to what Ann just said?
Hi, yes, I can.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. Hey, Ann.
Hello, MJ.
So I mean, MJ, is your story similar when she says, you know, some things in her background that pushed her in that direction? Or for you, was it just more an attraction that just developed? You don't really know why.
Yeah, so growing up, from a very young age, I can remember struggling with same-sex attraction. I grew up in a conservative Christian household, so I knew about God, but I felt like he was afar off and I was just the sinner. I didn't really have an outlet to be able to speak about the attractions I had, so I just pushed them down. I just hid them. So no one in my life knew what I was struggling through throughout my adolescence and my teenage years. And I really turned to other things to really try to help me with this inner battle between what I knew God wanted for me and who I believed that I was, that I was born this way. This is who I am. This is who I've been since a very young age. So I battled back and forth for many, many years. with my identity.
Hmm. Well, we need to go to break. I hate doing this, but when we come back, we actually had a longer segment, so I'm going to really enjoy that. But when we come back, I'm going to talk to both MJ and Anne. MJ, I want to hear your conversion and how you really met God in a personal way that changed your life. But then this process of change, and also I want to speak to some things that are happening in the church where the church is saying, people can't change. You're stuck in your sin. If it happens to be this sin, there's nothing you can do about it. We're going to address that when we come back. Again, you're listening to the Roy's Report. I'm Julie Roy's, and we will be right back after a short break.
You're listening to the Roy's Report with your host, Julie Roy's.
Well, can gays and transgender people change? The world says they can't, but my guests today say they can. Welcome back to the Roy's Report. I'm Julie Roy's, and in a minute, we're going to continue our discussion with Ann Polk of Restored Hope Network and MJ Nixon of Uprooted Heart, two ministries that believe in the total transforming work of Jesus Christ. But first, I want to let you know that next week, we'll be discussing evolution. Does Darwin's theory really explain the origin? Or is it a theory in crisis? Joining me will be Dr. Michael Behe, the so-called father of intelligent design. And according to Behe, evolution is fundamentally flawed because evolution breaks things. It doesn't make things. So it can't possibly explain the origin of life. Dr. Behe first presented this idea in his groundbreaking book, Darwin's Black Box. But now he has a new book out called Darwin Devolves, which presents new research showing this fundamental issue with evolution. It's going to be a fascinating and insightful show. So I hope you can join me for my show next week with Dr. Behe. Also, I want to let you know that if you missed any part of today's broadcast or you just want to listen again and share it with friends, we will be putting up the entire audio of today's program posted by 1 o'clock Central Time today at my website, JulieRoys, spelled R-O-Y-S.com. Well, returning to our discussion today, again, joining me, Ann Polk and MJ Nixon, two women who used to be in the lesbian lifestyle, but aren't so any longer. And MJ, I had to cut you off in the middle of your story, but tell me how you came to Christ and you found freedom from your sexual desires.
Yes, so I just wanted to be with one woman, and that ended up happening when I left to go to college, and we were together for over 5 years. But in the midst of that relationship, as I was saying before, there was always an inner battle between what God wanted for me and what was best for my life and what I wanted for my life. And in the midst of that relationship, Jesus met me and said, MJ, I have something greater for you if you just surrender. And at that point, I was so emotionally and physically tied to this woman that I just couldn't surrender. It's like I would give him certain areas, but I didn't want him to speak into my sexuality because I knew that meant that I was going to have to surrender the relationship I was in. But a couple of years later, again, I just kept being met just with a gentleness of a still voice that said, MJ, just lay it down. And I made that decision and my ex-partner as well, and stepped away from that relationship and fully, for the first time in my life, walked into a relationship of full surrender to what God had for me. And what a beautiful exchange. My ashes for his beauty, you know, what I believe, the strongholds in my mind, the deception of the lifestyle that I had battled with for so long was finally at ease, was finally at peace. My mind, my heart, my spirit, I was finally living in a place of peace.
And I'm going to ask you a personal question. If you don't want to answer it, you don't have to. But, I mean, at this point, do you feel like you can have, you know, you're living as a single person. Do you feel like it's possible that you'll have sexual feelings for a man at some point and might get married?
Yes, I want God's will for my life. I want his desires. And as I've become more like Christ, all of the things that I believed about men, the lies, God has healed those wounds in me. Even the very masculine woman that I was, the strong, independent, I don't need a man, God's healed that in me to be the helpmate that he wants me to be. So I get excited about that. I know as I can just continue to serve Jesus and I look to him, that if he has that for my life, that that will come to pass.
Hmm. And Anne, you're a few years ahead of where MJ is. I mean, you walked away from the lesbian lifestyle how many years ago?
Oh, my goodness. Probably as long as she's been alive.
We've lost track.
About
yes.
34, 35, I don't know.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
But, you know, you've been married. You've had this experience. I mean, the process of, and I know that this doesn't necessarily happen for everyone. For some people, they forsake that, and they never feel attracted to the opposite sex. For some, they do. But for you, you know, that happened to you. How long does that transformation take? And it's a process with most people, right?
Right. Well, I think, you know, it matters what's underlying the struggle and then what condition of surrender a person's in. MJ and I both have surrendered to the Lord. So has wonderful Jeffrey McCall and so many others. You know, there's just so many great stories of God's intervention and his incredible love making a difference in our lives. What happens as a result after that all depends upon the work of God undoing some beliefs and lies.
Hmm.
And that took me... It was a matter of when is God going to bring the light bulb moments of understanding and fruitfulness and the fact that I enjoy being a woman as a result of having walked through sexual abuse in my early childhood. And all that began to happen when I was in my 20s. I felt like at about 28, I'd come to the Lord at 19 or 20 years old. And about 28, after doing focused discipleship on the topic and really beginning to lean in, there were times when God would just give me a light bulb moment on a personal quiet time or in interaction with other women, and I began to feel comfortable in my own skin and trust him to be my protector, and all sorts of other things began to happen until I finally recognized that not all men are like that person who took advantage of me. In fact, there are some men who are really amazing. And then recognizing that God created men as well, you know. And there were all these little light bulb moments that led to the potential for me to have attraction develop.
Sure.
But God had to work on those things in order to produce the potential for me to even be interested or have that heart ignition in a relationship with another man, with a man. So
I love both of your stories. I love all the stories we've been talking about today. But I know there's others in the church that are going to push back. And in fact, there was a conference earlier just this summer called Revoice. I think it was the second conference that they've done. And the leaders of Revoice are gay celibate Christians. So in other words, they're people who embrace this gay identity, but say, I'm going to be celibate in the Lord. And one of them, I believe it's the pastor, Greg Johnson, who pastors the church where Revoice is held, spoke recently to the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church of America, because that's the denomination he's in. And I think people need to understand this is not the PCUSA, which is the very liberal branch of the Presbyterian Church. This is PCA, and this is the very conservative branch of the Presbyterian Church. But he says that because of, you know, they're talking about this thing called the Nashville Statement, which is a conservative statement about sexuality. There's an Article 7 in that statement that says that homosexual and transgender self-conception, that is not consistent with God's holy purposes in creation and redemption. And he said, this is very hurtful to us that he's saying that. So I want to play just a brief clip from his speech before the General Assembly, and then I'd love to hear both of you respond to it.
I'm 46 years old and still same-sex attracted. My orientation has not changed. And for those who are exclusively same-sex attracted, who are men, we don't know for certain of even... I've talked to every head of every ministry and can't find a single instance of same-sex attraction going away. And so where that leaves me at age 46 is I'm a 46-year-old virgin who has never so much as held hands. I've never had a romantic embrace. I have never hugged romantically. I have had a history of struggle with pornography, of which I am now 15 years sober. I am mortifying my flesh every single day, and yet that has a cost. Jesus has washed me, and yet I'm in the fight for my life every single day, and I don't regret that one bit. But the cost is this. The cost is that there are no family photographs on my mantle because I have no family. The cost is I know what it's like to sit alone at home in my apartment on Christmas Day because I have no family. The cost is that someday I will have to be buried, not cremated, because there will be no one to receive my ashes, because my line ends with me.
Well, again, that's Greg Johnson, a pastor in the Presbyterian Church USA, and also, I believe, one of the founders of this Revoice conference. And he's saying, I mean, he can't change. And I wish Jeffrey McCall was still on, because he says specifically for men that these homosexual desires don't go away. So, you know what? Let me throw it to you, Ann, first, and then MJ, I'll give you a chance to respond as well.
Well, I know so many people who actually have had change of feelings in Restored Hope, and even in our previous organization, Exodus, back in the day before it was camp closed, the headquarters closed. There were so many men who were not at all attracted to women, who found themselves attracted to an individual of the opposite gender later on after having worked through many things and surrendering to the Holy Spirit. And honestly, they began to be able to marry and have attraction to their spouse and be in a romantic relationship. And so it's not uncommon. It's pretty common, actually. Mm. Most of our leaders are married. Mm. And a lot of them are men who are from the gay life. So I don't know who he's talked to. Maybe he's been very selective of who he's talked to, if it's even possible. But I know an awful lot of people, it's happened to men and women, that they've had a change of feelings, a change of future, and a potential of getting married and having children. Now, not everybody does. The reality is not everybody is going to get married, even in the heterosexual world. So regardless of that, that doesn't mean that your life is over and there's no future or hope for you. In fact, God values very highly singleness and a solid devotion to himself, and he provides family in different ways, including our natural family, right? So, MJ, what is your thought?
Yeah, MJ, I want to hear from you, too.
Yeah, my heart goes out to this man, because even being single and celibate, there's so much community in the body of Christ that he does not have to be alone. But, yeah, I agree with Ann. When I heard him say, you know, he's in the fight of his life, I can't really say for my life that I've gone through that. Yes, there is temptation. Yes, there are the things of the flesh. But I don't wake up each day struggling with lust for women or attraction to women. So just hearing that, my heart just really went out to him. And just, you know, the gospel is the good news. Mm-hmm. What did Jesus die for if we can't change?
Well, and
so
that,
I think it really...
Yeah, go. That to me is the bottom line, though. It really is. That Scripture says, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, right? I mean, is the new creation gay? You know, I don't see that the new creation is gay. The flesh may be gay, but the new creation isn't. And the flesh is something that you know, Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Man, I wish we had more time. Thank you so much, MJ. Thank you, Anne. That's all for today, but you're listening to Roy's Report. I hope you have a great weekend. Catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Roy's Report with Julie Roy's. The Roy's Report is a listener-supported program, and we're only able to broadcast this program with donations from listeners like you. If you'd like to see this quality program continue, please go to julieroys, spelled R-O-Y-S.com, and click on the Donate button. As a thank you for giving, you'll receive a signed copy of Julie's book, Redeeming the Feminine Soul, God's Surprising Vision for Womanhood. Just go to julieroys.com and click on the Donate button.